going to start a series next week talking about how your failures don't have to define you. The series is called Failing Forward, and I'll show you how even if you look at your failures at it in a in the right perspective, how they actually can be a springboard for you moving forward. How many of you had some things that you thought, man, I could have done better last year? You know what I mean? Areas in your life where you just think, I'd like to have that. I just could have done it better. Well, or maybe, you know, the year before, whatever, because all of us fail. But this is going to be a very helpful series. And so I'm asking you, do your best. Make a decision that you're not going to miss any of these services, that you're going to catch every single one in these series. I was preaching this to myself yesterday, encouraging you in the car. And as I preached that, I recognized, man, if you think about it, I would encourage you to make a decision. You're never going to make church, never going to miss church in 2020. You know, how many know that's a doable thing? Come on, how many know that's a doable thing? And here's what I want you to catch. Here's what I want you to catch. That the reality is our life, your life, if you make that commitment and if you follow through with that commitment, a lot of things are going to happen that will be helpful to you. One, if you have kids or grandkids, you're going to be showing them something. How many know kids are very watchful in what you do? Well, Pastor, I think you're just trying to make sure I come to church every time next year. Exactly. I'm busted. But here's the thing. You've got to understand something. If you'll make that commitment, your kids are going to see that commitment, and they're going to see you walk it out. And it's much easier for you as a parent to instruct your children when they see it done, modeled for them. Does that make sense? Number one. And number two, learning the Word of God is accumulative in its nature. The Bible says it like this: line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And many of the strongest people in our congregation, as far as serving God and just, you know what, they're just rocking it, are people that I will see here every single Sunday. And there's something that happens as last week builds on the week before, builds on the week before, builds on the week before, builds on the week before. And all of a sudden there's this deluge of understanding, watch this, of wisdom that is taking place. And it's not because they're so smart, but it's because God's so smart. But it is because they are making good decisions. And those good decisions, you're just getting more understanding, more understanding, more understanding, more understanding. And so in the past, watch this, where Satan would come in and be able to deceive you, he's not able to deceive you. Why? Because you're like, no, I see you. I know what you're trying to do. I understand. Pastor preached that last week. Pastor preached that the week before. I heard that. God spoke to me. And all of a sudden, you have this clarity of understanding. And all of a sudden, watch this, your life is way better. And it's not way better coincidentally. It's way better because you made a purposeful decision that you were going to not miss church. You know what? And I hear all kinds of preaching, and it's good preaching. You know what? Church doesn't save you. I understand that. But church is a major instrument that God has ordained to of revelation knowledge to get from him to you. Oh, I'll give you another chance to say amen to that. But church is a major instrument that God has ordained from him to get, you know what, his wisdom from him to you. And so take advantage of it. Make a decision. You know what I mean? And I understand there's things that happen that come up that make church difficult to get to. But I also understand, you know what, where there's a will, there's a way. And I've seen people and they just never miss. And they're dealing with life just like everybody else is dealing with life. Why do they never miss? Because here's what they do. They say Sunday and Wednesday is a staple. Those are concrete. And all my other life is going to be, you know what, scheduled around that priority. How many know that's a good way to run your life? Amen. All right. Can I get a bigger amen than that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Good. You guys ready to learn some stuff? Okay. So, failing forward, don't let past failures define you. I want to start by talking today about the goodness of God. Somebody say the goodness of God. Can you turn me up a little bit? Because here's the reality. The reality is God is so good. But many times in our life, because of certain circumstances, I don't have time to go into all the detail today, but I want to just teach you and show you in the Word how good God is and the clarity of how just so good God is. And then once we understand that, then that what happens is, you know, my wife, I'll go next to her and she would just smell so good. She has some, you know what, she got this on or, you know, that on or whatever. And she smells so good. But here's what happens. I like to be close to my wife. Oh, somebody say amen to that. And so sometimes I'm close to my wife and I'm so close to her for so long that next thing you know, guess what? When you get around me, you're like, Pastor, what kind of cologne you got on today? Because that smells like a perfume. You know, what's with that? Okay. So here's what's happening. There's this transfer that happens. I didn't put on that cologne, that perfume, but I smell like that perfume because I got real close to her for a long period of time. I want to teach you first how good God is. And then I want to teach you this, and I'm going to do this all today real quickly. But then I want to teach you how important it is for you in 2020 to get as close to God as you can. Because the closer to God you get, the sweeter you're going to smell. Amen. And all, watch this, all of the goodness of God is going to transfer to you. You're not going to be so angry. You're not going to be so bitter. You're not going to be so, you're going to be full of more joy and peace and love. And you'll be like, man, I don't know what's happening to me. I know what's happening to you. You are being anointed. You know what anointed means? It just means rubbed off. Jesus is rubbing off on you. Amen? And watch this. And when Jesus rubs off on you, you know what rubs off on you? Goodness. You know why? Because that's who he is. And now all of a sudden, I know this isn't proper English, but it's good theology. Now all of a sudden, you're gooder than you were before. Hello? Okay. But you know what we have to understand first? First, we have to understand how good God is. Because the truth be told, for most of us, we think God is mostly good. Let me teach you something. God is not mostly good. God is completely good. God is complete. Well, you never know. You know, just like you never know what God's going to do. No. We do know what God's going to do. Every time, God is going to do the right thing. And God is going to do the good thing. Because here's what we know. God is not kind of good. God is not sort of good. God is not mostly good. God is completely good.
Amen.
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 Amen. Can I show you some passages? Look at first point. God is good. Can we say that together? First point, God is good. Wow, what a great, if we would get a revelation of God's goodness, we would be, our 2020 would be amazing. God is good. Psalms 34:8, you know this. Look what it says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Look what it says. Blessed and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
My wife makes a lot of things good. When she makes guacamole, it's a good day. Yeah. Amen. I tell her, you know what? One of my favorite things to eat is a guacamole burger. This is a true story. And so, because, you know, you can get guacamole burgers. But how many know the guacamole burger is only as good as the guacamole? Come on. Do I have some connoisseurs in the room? And so she'll make guacamole, and I'll say, oh, man, I know what I'm going to have tomorrow for lunch. And I will take some of her guacamole, I will get a burger, and I will put her guacamole on that burger, and it is a good day. Now, here's what I want to say. You know why her guacamole is so good? Here, I'll say it like this. When I dip the chip in the guacamole, and I bite it, and I go, oh. That is good. You know why I say that? This is deep. This is only for the deep spiritual people, okay? Hey, can I give you a clue? Can I give you a clue as far as teaching? And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I am trying to teach you something. If you listen to teachers, and when they're done saying what they're saying, that you don't understand it, that is not a good teacher. I found the most deep teachers are able to break it down in very simplistic ways that people can understand it. Does that make sense? Okay. So getting back to my illustration. You know why I say, man, that is good. You know why I say that? Here's why. Here's deep. Because it's good. See, what did I do? I tasted and I saw. I'm not placating my wife. I'm not like, oh, honey, so good. No, it is good. Amen. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, no, you taste and see. God already knows he's good. Amen. He is good. But you've got to taste and see that that's good. You know what, I don't know, but my kids are they're food adventuresome. Amen? I am not food adventuresome. You know what I mean? They will try this food and that food and this food. I'm like, okay. No, thank you. But listen, but I do taste my wife's guacamole. Amen? She made, this week she made some chicken and noodles, oriental soup. I'm like, I don't know about that. I was like, But then I thought, okay. I was really hungry, so I was like, okay, I'll try. Oh, man, I tasted and I saw. You know what I saw? Did you get some of that? Oh, you missed it, dude. It was good. It was so good. You know what I mean? Well, why was it so good? Here's why. I don't know. She just knows how to make stuff. My daughters, you know what? Megan will go in the room, in the kitchen. She's like, well, you know what? And I'll be like, man. I'm looking over, you know, I got a peanut butter jelly sandwich, and she's got this. And it took her like 15 minutes to make it all. I'm like, man. So now she comes to the kitchen. I'm like, whatever you're having for lunch, make me one. I don't know how she does, because she just, Tamara taught my daughters. They just know how to throw, I don't know how they do it, you know, because I don't do that, but they do it. Here's my point. The reason why you can see that the Lord, you can taste it and see that the Lord is good is because he is good. Does this make sense? And there's not going to be, listen to me, and there's not going to be like Tuesday, you're going to taste and say, oh, got kind of a little off today. Amen. You ever gone to a restaurant? You're like, man, I don't know why it was, you know, I just off today. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hello? Yeah. No, God's never off. You would taste and see Monday at 4, Tuesday at 8, Wednesday at 3, anytime. Look, why? Because God is always good. That's who he is in his character. Look at this next verse. You know this verse. You know what? Psalms 72:18. Look what it says. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who, look what it says, only does what? Wondrous things. That's all he does. Let me tell you what. God, when he brought the word of God, he uses specific words, precise words. How many know God's not sloppy with his words? And here's what the Spirit says. He only does what? That's all he does, wondrous things. Why? Because he's good. And so because he's good, that's all he does is wondrous things all the time. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You know this, Jeremiah 29, 11. Look what it says. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. I love this verse for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons I love this verse is it gives us indication that people are talking jive about God. Can I preach to somebody today? Listen, become a people. Get it settled in your mind that God isn't kind of good. God isn't mostly good. God isn't sometimes good. Get it in your head that God is always good. Because that's who God is. Can you see it as the prophetic is speaking? The words of God is, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. God says, listen, other people are talking jive about me, saying that I'm mad at you, that I'm upset with you, that I'm all this stuff. They're saying a bunch of junk. Hey, listen, I know how I think towards you. I know my thoughts towards you. Listen to me, church. Stop allowing other people who don't read the word of God or who misinterpret the word of God or who misinterpret, listen to me, who are or misinterpret life. It's so interesting to me that there's so many people and God doesn't exist and God doesn't exist and God doesn't exist and God doesn't exist, and then something negative will happen and they'll say, where was God? Listen, we are going to spend some time in this series, and I'm going to dig some things up for you, and I'm going to show you how misunderstood God is, how he gets the bad rap, and how there's things in life that doesn't have anything to do with him, but we'll blame God for all kinds of things. I hear God speaking to, you know what, those people in the Old Testament when he spoke this. But I also hear God speaking to us today saying, hey, stop interpreting, you know what, things that happen in your life and stop blaming me for these things. Because let me tell you about my thoughts towards you. You know what, I know how I think towards you. You know what, and my thoughts for you are peace and they're not of evil. You know what? They're for a future, watch this, and a hope. Listen, if you're thinking, you know what, yeah, but I've been, you know what, yeah, but look at my ears, you know, they stick right out. Why did God give me those ears? You know what I mean? I just don't know. We come up with all kinds of stuff. No. You know what? If you got flappy ears, you know what? God loves your ears. Amen. Amen. How do you know God? Because he put them on you like that. Amen. Right. You think he, well, I don't want to go to you because I want to go to you. Okay, it's hard for me to illustrate. But you think God put those ears on you and just, no. He put them on and he said, oh, I like those ears, man. Man, you got some style, man. You know what? I don't have these other people that, but they don't got ears like you. Man, so you wear your ears proud. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Somebody learning something today. Stop having this preconceived notion that, you know what, that God is mostly good. God is sometimes good. No. God is always good. You know what? And he made you just the way he likes you that way. Yeah, but other people, so what? Amen? Look yourself in the mirror and, you know what? Just get happy in God's goodness. Amen? How many hearing what I'm saying? Stop. You know what? Hey, God says, I know how I think towards you. And you know what he's really saying? He's really speaking to these people. He's speaking to all of us. Hey, stop thinking that I have evil thoughts towards you. Because I don't. Are you learning something today? See, listen. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go to a couple more scriptures. Go to James. James chapter 11. There is no James chapter 11. Sorry, false doctrine. Okay, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. What's that first word there? Did I just teach you that God is specific, uses his words? Every. Somebody say every. What is, you all know what every means, right? It means 100%. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. It's from above. You listen, you want to blame for God? Listen, every time something goes good in your life, just go like this. Oh, went good? Right there, Jackson. Went good? All right, again. Are you catching what I'm saying? Every time, start to understand the goodness of God. Start to notice, and let me tell you what, everything will change in your life. God gives more grace to the humble. You're like, let me tell you what, that was a mean sermon I preached. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Man, I sung beautifully today. Right? Man, I'm smart. Man, I'm handsome. Man, I'm, you know, whatever it is. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is anything that you might say that is good in your life, give God glory. Anything cool happening with your kids, give God glory. Amen. Anything cool happening in your marriage, give God glory. Anything good happening in your church, give God glory. Start to recognize that every good gift, amen? Hallelujah. You ever had a good chili cheese dog? Yeah. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know when you're really hungry? How many know a good chili cheese dog is a blessing? This is a blessing from God. What do you think you're praying over it for? God, thank you. Hallelujah. No, really, we get all lost into this stuff. And I know you're blessing. I know you're also sanctifying it, making sure that there's any, like, you know what, like, funky thing in it, zap it, because I'm going to eat this now. Right? Amen?
Amen.
But you're also thanking God for it. You ever eat something really good and, like, the first bite, you're like, oh, man, that's good. That's God. No, really, that is God. Who do you think put those taste buds in your, you know what, he did that specifically. Your smell, all the stuff. Who do you think did that? When God made you like that, he made you like that because he wanted you to go, oh, that's good. That's a good chili cheese dog. Amen. I'm going to have a chili cheese dog for lunch, I think. Amen. And when I do, after I take the first bite, I'm going to say, oh, God is good. Amen. Why? Because every good thing that happens in your life, God should get credit for. Every good thing. Every good thing. Okay. Well, what about Satan? Is Satan real? Absolutely. Listen, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus makes it clear. How many know you don't get better theology than Jesus? Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, let's clarify this. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Stop. You know when you were in the second grade, and you get something, you know, you'd have a math problem, you know what, and you'd get it wrong. Something that the teacher would do sometimes is she'd look at your paper and you could go, you know what, here's your problem. You got the tens in the one column. And so you scooted it over too much, and so that's why your answer's wrong. Because you got things in the wrong column. Come on. How many understand this concept? Come on, you brilliant mathematicians. Second graders, yeah. Okay. How many know? You're going to get, and here's what happens in our life. When we start putting God in Satan's column and Satan in God's column. You know, the Bible says, beware when you start calling evil good and good evil. Listen, stop putting things that Satan is doing in this world and you give credit to God, or you put God in the blame. No, let me tell you about God. God only does wondrous things. That's what the Bible says. All good gifts come, perfect gifts come from where? The Father of lights. And then Jesus says, let me tell who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan. You say, Pastor, how does he do that? Okay, good question. Can we analyze some stuff? Come on, can we be theologians for a minute? Go back to Genesis. How does Satan, is Adam and Eve, are they living a good life? Is there any problems in their life? Is things pretty smooth sailing in their life? Okay. And then Satan comes and she's deceived. She eats, gives the fruit to her husband, he eats, and their life is different forever. How many know not as good now? Here's my question. Notice this. Take note of this. Satan cannot shove that, just call it an apple. It wasn't an apple. We don't know what it was, but we'll just call it an apple. He can't shove that apple down her mouth and try to get her to chew it. He can't do that. She has to, that's a decision that she made. Well, why'd she make that decision? What is it the underlining strategy that Satan used to get her to take that? Do you know what it was? Listen to me. It was questioning the character of God. It was putting this, and not just questioning, but saying, let me tell you about God. God is keeping something from you. Yeah. He's not honest. You know what? He's not good. If you eat this, here's what God knows. God knows if you eat this, you're going to have better revelation. And he doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. So he's keeping something from you. That's evil. And she thought, oh yeah, that's how God's doing. And that's why she took that. How many hearing what I'm saying? In 2020, the quicker you resolve that God is good all the time, all the time, God good. That the only thing he has for you is good things. The smarter you're going to be, and the better your life's going to be. Here's why. Because you're not going to take the bait of Satan. That's right. The bait of Satan is, you know what? It's God's fault. He's evil. You know, on and on and on. He has all kind. I don't have time to teach on all the forms of evil that Satan attributes to God. But if there's any evil, stop attributing it to God, because it doesn't have anything to do with God.
Amen.
Amen. Every good gift comes from above. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What look at, we're there already. Don't Father lies, with whom there is what? How much variation? There's no variation in who God is. And what's this talking about? It's talking about specifically all this good thing. Why are all these good things happening, coming down from above? Here's why. Because God is good. That's who he is. Amen. There's no variation. There's no shadow of turning. There's no, listen to me, there's no nuance. It's clear. God is good. Period. There's no nuance. It's just crystal clear. My dad used to say, you know what I like? Here's what I like. I don't like nuance. Give me chocolate cake with chocolate icing and chocolate ice cream. No variation. Okay. If you're cutting a cake, if you're cutting a cake and that represents God, you're going to get chocolate, 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 and chocolate. Amen. All you're going to get is good, 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 good. And by the way, I like chocolate. If you hadn't guessed. Romans chapter 1 verse, oh no, not Romans chapter 1, never mind on that. So I say all that to say this: God is good. So get around God in 2020 as much as you can. The more God you have in your life, the better your life is going to be. I said, I don't know who this is for. This might be for every person in the house today. I don't know who this is for. But this thought of, God wants to take our life and get it out of a form of godliness. A religious, you know what? Oh, that, no. He wants to get that out. And he just wants you to become just into him. Yeah. Just all into God. Where you're not, you know what, so you're not, you know, if I'm coming over your house, you're not like, oh, you know what, I don't want pastor to see that. And oh, I better change, you know, all. It's like, He's not looking for that. He's just looking for you to be real. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And this thought of, you know what, I'll just kind of do this. Listen, just give up. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I hear this so strongly. Give up, man. Just give up. Just say, you know what, because here's what's going to happen. Your life is going to get good. Pastor, you're saying there's no, you know, Christians have no problems? Yeah. Did I tell you to come to all the sermons in this? Because I need to go over that. You need to understand that. But first, you need to understand this. You know what? Your life of one foot in and one foot out, your life of giving God, you know what, giving God some token thing when you get a chance, when you get around to it. You know what? Our lives should be Christ-centered lives. Christ should be the center of everything that we do and who we are. You know what? And then what's going to happen? There's going to be this abundance of joy, abundance of peace. Why? Because Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. You know what? Just give up. You know what I mean? Whatever. Just recognize this is ruining your life. You know, this pornography on the internet, it's ruining your life. Yeah, Pastor, but I struggle with it. I don't seem to have control over it. I know. So just come here. Humble out. Just come and just call me. Say, hey, pastor, I'm not gonna go. Ooh, dude, you're in pornography. Well, listen, welcome to 2020. Hello, somebody. But stop playing with it. And whatever, he says, don't do pornography. That's not the point. Listen, me bringing that up isn't for me to be self-righteous over you. That's not the point. My point is to be real with real problems that real people are dealing with. And to be real with you and tell you, Satan is not messing around. He wants to ruin your marriage. Listen, you can't be looking at other women and, yeah. Thanks for the help, but I'm good. Okay. But I do appreciate your, you know, it does need to be said. But it doesn't, listen, it doesn't, you know, they're not going to feel like passionate with you if you're, you know what, doing this other stuff. It just doesn't work. So just give up and say, you know what, I'm tired. Listen, this, I think Peter said it so good. Peter says, where else would we go? You're the only one who's got the answers. See, and let me tell you what, you don't have to, 2020 can be your best year ever, but it can't be your best year ever if you continue to cling to this stuff. If all you did was just made a decision. Oh, see, that's my dog. That is my dog. That's Ryder. If all you did was just start coming here every Sunday and every Wednesday, if that's all you did, watch what will happen to your life. It just a world of difference. Why? Because I'm going to preach the word, I'm going to preach the word, I'm going to preach the word, I'm going to preach the word. You know what the word is? It's a two-edged sword, and it cuts through the bone and the mire. And all the... all the jive that you've been, you know what, and you've been jiving yourself. You know what's one of the worst deceptions? Self-deception. And you're going to come here in this place and not in a critical, not in a condescending way, but in an encouraging way. I'm going to tell you the truth. Tamara's going to tell you the truth. The leaders of the church, you know, Pastor Joel, Pastor Shayla, Pastor Isaac going to tell you the truth. Pastor Paul going to tell you the truth. Pastor George going to tell you the truth. Not any. They all know. Do not. Listen, it is not our role to act self-righteous, and none of them do. But they're going to tell the truth, and the word's going to cut through all that jive. And then you're going to call me and say, hey, Pastor, I'm jacked up. Can you help me? And I'm going to say, yeah. Okay, we got to do some things. One, you got to call me every week. Two, you can't lie to me. Because how good does it help if when I ask you stuff and then you won't be honest with me? And I've said this. You know what? You might feel it's like, Pastor, that's embarrassing. I know it is. But here's what the Bible says: repent that times of refreshing might come. See, get over yourself. You know what I mean? At some point in time, listen, I'm not going to judge you. And I'm not the only pastor who can do this. You know what? I've said, not all the pastors can do this here, but I've said, Pastor Paul, you know, you can call him. Maybe you feel more comfortable with him. That's fine. Or Pastor George. You know what? And Pastor George is gracious, gracious, gracious. But how many know he's going to tell you the truth? He's not going to lie to you. But he won't judge you. You know, some of you women are like, ooh, Pastor's not talking about us today. No, no, I'm talking to you, amen. I just don't know what your deal is. But the Holy Spirit knows what your deal is. Maybe your deal is you've made excuses why you're too busy to go to church every Sunday. Or 100 different things. I don't know. I'm not here to listen. I can just preach a sermon. It's one of the powers of the preaching of the word. I can just preach a sermon and the Holy Spirit will just nail you on something. It's like, you know what, you come, oh man, you said this and you said that. I'm like, I didn't say that. But see, the Holy Spirit can use the generic to get specific with you. Has anybody experienced that? Okay. Where was I? Oh yeah, let's go to Acts. Let me go to a couple more scriptures. Let me tie this up. Let me close this out. So God is good. We got to get close to God. Because when we get close to God, look at this awesome scripture. So no, that wasn't it. What's the that's it. Now, when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John, they see these guys and they're bold. They perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled and they recognized that they had been with who?
Jesus.
With Jesus. Hey, if somebody saw you, could they say, man, that guy's been with Jesus this week? Man, that guy spent time with Jesus. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great evangelist, you know what? He in England, and his training was he was just a plumber. But he'd get on a train, and there would be people on the train that would just fall on their faces and say, I'm convicted of sin. I'm convicted of sin. I'm convicted of sin. Why? Because Smith Wigglesworth spent so much time with Jesus. There's a verse in the New Testament that says this. Jesus says, you know what? That they will see your good, listen to me, your good works and glorify my Father in heaven. Is that amazing? See, can you imagine this? How many would like to see five people? How many know five people that you'd like to lead to Jesus personally in 2020? How many would like to do that to happen? Listen to me. That can happen. God is good. You start hanging out with God, and all of a sudden, what's going to happen? You're going to be sweeter. You're going to be kinder. You're going to be more gracious. You're going to be smarter. You're going to be all these things. And people look at you and go, man, I don't know what's going on. I want to be like them. And you're going to be, no. You don't want to be like me. You want to be like Jesus who's inside me. That's who you want to be like. Does that make sense? Can that happen? So let me tell you one more story. There's a story, and Jesus is going over to these ladies' house, and one of the ladies is just hanging out with Jesus, just listening to what he says, just at his feet, listening to what he says. The other one is in the kitchen making chimichangas. You know what I mean? Or, no, what takes a long time? Oh, she's making tamales. Amen? Right? You know, man, and then she pokes her head out. She's like, oh yeah, my sister, she's gonna recognize I need some help. She's gonna be here. You know how it goes: 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you just start, you know, the kettle's starting getting to, you know what I mean? And she's just, you know what? And after a while, she keeps on looking, and her sister's doing jack diddly except sitting there listening to Jesus. You can say jack diddly in church, right? She's like, what? Watch this. Read it when you get home. Imagine this. She gets out of the kitchen, goes to Jesus, is going to start telling Jesus what to do. Can I tell you what? When you start telling Jesus what to do, you in a bad position. Amen? She starts telling Jesus, you know what? Tell my sister to help me. I love this. And then Jesus makes the correction. Guys in the back, go to Luke 10 verse. Jesus makes the correction. Watch who he makes the correction with. He doesn't make the correction with the lady in the that's at his feet. She makes the correction to the lady in the kitchen. Look what she says. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know what she's saying? Hey, lady, I'm not going to tell your sister to go in there and help you with the kitchen. Because you know who needs to be corrected? It's you. It's not her. What does Jesus say? You guys, listen to me. How many want your 2020 to be better than 2019 or 18? Come on, raise your hand if you want your year. You're like believing for greater things. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me and say, not only will the things that are happening in Hope get greater, but they will be substantially greater. Amen. Amen. And 2019 was our best year ever. And God spoke to me and said, 2020 isn't going to be marginally better. It's going to be substantially better. How many would like substantially better? Amen. Can I tell you what? One thing is needed. The primary thing that you need to do is spend time at the feet of Jesus and watch your life get good. Why? Because there will be a rubbing off. You will start to smell like God smells. You will start to, here's the main thing. You're going to start, you know what you're going to start to do? You're going to start to think like he thinks. And when you start to think like he thinks, you're going to start to speak like he speaks. And you're going to start to act like he acts. And you're going to start to reap a whole different harvest because you're sowing a whole different harvest. How many have been encouraged today? You just have to start two things. You have to start to recognize, you know what, who's on your side and who the enemy is. And stop putting things that the enemy has done in your life and stop putting that in God's account. Because it's just not going to serve you well. You'll be like Eve. Yeah, you'll be like Eve. And you'll start to accept things. Listen to me. I don't know what this is for. You'll start to accept things that you never should have accepted. Never should have accepted. Why? Because they're wrong. And now you're putting yourself in the wrong positioning. Now you're positioning yourself against God. Now God has become your enemy. And you know what? And you're the one who's doing it. And you're not going to draw close to God. You're going to start to back up. And you're going to start to back up. And you're going to start to back up. And and you'll justify the whole thing. There's people who ruin their lives because they start blaming God for situations in their life that they think he should have taken care of. Now I'm really getting into, my sermon in 2 weeks. But just don't do that. Just recognize God is good. Run to him. Get close to him. And watch what he does as he starts to rub off on you. Watch what will happen in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we won't spend a lot of time in this, but it's important that we not leave, that we don't do this. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, you're not even sure that you're saved. You're not sure that you're a Christian. You don't have to walk out of here unsure. Now's your time. Just lift up your hands. I'm not going to ask you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you in front of everyone. I'm just going to ask. We're just going to say a simple prayer. We're just going to ask Jesus to come in our heart. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Yes. Yes. Who else? Is there anyone else? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else wants to do that? Can you say this with me? Just pray this prayer. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I'm sorry for running my life. I need your blood to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. I want you to choose for me. You're going to be my Lord from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Yeah.